Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
Support for WPR comes from Isthmus Partners, an asset management firm providing comprehensive financial planning and tailored investment solutions for long-term growth and capital preservation. More at isthmuspartnersllc.com.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest has won almost every major literary prize out there, from the O. Henry to the Pulitzer.
He's also a professor at MIT whose celebrated short story collection called This Is How You Lose Her recently came out in paperback. He's appearing tonight at Boswell Books in Milwaukee. Juno, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us about your main character, Junior. Where did he come from?
Junior?
Thank you very much. Where did he come from?
I mean, he just came from a sort of deep desire I had to explore some sort of issues around masculinity and intimacy in the communities that I grew up in. I always wanted to write about a young Dominican kid in New Jersey, and he sort of came together in a really fascinating way, a kind of a sensitive, hyper-observant, over-educated, poor kid who also expresses a lot of the worst elements of growing up hyper-masculine in these multiple cultures.
And funny thing is, this guy, I think, has some things in common with you. Do you cop to there being a semi-autobiographical element to this guy?
I mean, only, for example, if somebody wore your clothes and drove your car and waved your resume around, if someone wants to confuse them for you, I think that has more to do with the fact that the person doesn't know who you are. It's easier for me to dress my characters in some of my clothes and to give them some of my biographical information. It's sort of the way that, little tiny pieces of the real world can strengthen the fictional apparatus. And, I certainly use my own life to model Junior, but when it comes down to it, especially when I think about this book is, I think a lot of it has fictional roots.
Now, this is a linked short story collection, and for folks who haven't actually read the whole book yet, tell us a little bit about what happens in it.
Oh, God, it's sort of like it's a weird journey. It's kind of a broken-up novel, and the way that it works, sort of like the look at the rise and fall of a guy who has a lot of problems keeping the girls he loves. He starts out being the sort of cocky, confident guy everybody knows you shouldn't date, and ends up really kind of, we see him really fall deep, 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 deep into his own crimes and his misdemeanors.
Well, I read recently a really fascinating article about your appearance at a New Jersey school. You talked to some kids about the power of art and why it matters to you. And I'm curious, so if you weren't the Juno Diaz we know today, the MacArthur Genius Grant recipient, the Pulitzer Prize winner, if you hadn't held fast to the idea that making art really matters, who do you think you'd be today?
Hard to say. I'd probably be somebody, if I stayed hardworking and stayed functional, I'd probably be some working stiff in a white-collar job somewhere. And maybe if I had been, equally as brave but in a different area, maybe I would be a teacher.
And it seems like you have an affinity for the kids, and they really responded to you when you talked to them. And I wonder what you would say to kids who are struggling, maybe just to make it through school, maybe just struggling to make it through a day of school, about, how to choose your life intentionally and to do something that you feel passionate about.
Well, but you can't confuse sort of the guy who comes in and just, is personable to a bunch of kids. You can't confuse that with the folks who are in there on the front line doing that actual hard work that needs to be done in some ways to motivate young people, to give them the space, to give them, the horizons that we all need to plan for better selves and better tomorrows. And I think my thing is when I work with kids, what I notice is that they definitely need way less advice. And what they need is a lot more mentorship, So, my thing is I tend to just work with kids, you volunteer at schools. And if I could opt out of advice and opt for mentorship, that's way more productive and even way more welcome from the young person's point of view.
And by mentorship, you mean you're in there in their lives. You're not just popping in and out.
Well, I mean, but mentorship, given the fact how few adults are actually working with school-age kids, I would say popping in and out wouldn't be a bad thing either. You know, I think that right now we're talking about so many folks out there could be giving more to kids, and it's, you know, it'd be not a bad idea to do so, even if you could only do it part-time. I mean, God, our youth, there's so many youth that need us.
Now, you were born in the Dominican Republic, and later on, you said that your mom worked hard to help her family, and she wanted you to choose a profession that made real money, like a doctor or a lawyer. How did you decide to go for a career in writing?
Well, I mean, I think it comes out of an extraordinary love of books. I just kind of fell in love with books. I was fortunate to have a great librarian in my grammar school, and that made all the difference. And, you know, when you read a few books that transform you, that give you all sorts of hope and energy and excitement and promote in you adventure and compassion, it kind of becomes a practice.
Do you think you're a role model for some of these kids that you've been talking about who need mentors, who see you and say, this is a guy, you know, who made it, even though you told them you didn't actually make any money writing books? Do you think the kids look up to you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of speculation. I think what it is for the, what I think I, as an artist, for me, what matters most is sort of like providing a textual space, providing a set of stories that these young people can sort of encounter themselves in meaningful ways, in ways that gives them a lot of information about themselves and the world.
Now, some people say that, you know, you're just kind of born a writer. It's encoded in the way that you think about the world and the way you respond to books. Do you remember when you first knew that you were a writer?
Oof. I mean, that's a tough one. I think for me, what ended up happening was that I knew that I was a reader long before I knew I was a writer. I think writing came to me only when I was in college, when I was thinking of what are some of the things that I would be, you know, what would I want to dedicate my life to doing? And I realized, you know, writing, being in books, being in story would be a wonderful life. And it was really only to my last 2 years of college that even became a possibility.
Do you remember what books there were that you read that shaped your writing destination, books that you fell in love with early on?
Well, sure. I mean, again, like any reader, I could sort of name endlessly. You know, I think that, for example, probably the first book written by an African American about an African American that I read when I was growing up, the autobiography of Malcolm X, had an enormous impact on me. Again, it was a book that was, if you were growing up when I was growing up, it just was kind of an eye opener about stuff that nobody wanted to talk about. It had such a wonderful critical point of view. An alternate history of America, which was really useful, and it spoke, you know, it spoke to me in a deep way. But, you know, when I think about literature, I think, you know, I think about the fact that very early on I was exposed to Dickens, and very early on I was exposed to all sorts of crazy science fiction writers like Philip K. Dick and fantasists, and, you know, genre writers like Ursula K. Le Guin and Ray Bradbury, and these people had a tremendous impact on me.
Well, I hope you have a great time tonight in Milwaukee, and I want to thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you guys so much.
We've been talking to Junot Diaz, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He's a professor at MIT, and his latest book is called This Is How You Lose Her.